I love that. We are so blessed to be a people called by a God who stands powerfully over death with freedom and life in his hands. Man, what a good thing for us. Today we're back in Philemon. Can we thank those guys for, man, praise God for giving men and women talent to serve. Our students are trying to figure out when to go down from the choir loft. That's the struggle right now. I think when I pray, they're going to come down. Y'all good with that? When I pray, we'll come down. All right. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and pray. We'll pray over our time in the Word together. God, we do thank you for the good gift you've given us in your Word. I thank you for Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, knowing that these aren't fairy tales, these aren't fantasy characters, but these are real men who lived and breathed and were loved by you and loved you. God, help us to be in that same way, men and women who are pursuing you, because you pursued us. You brought us to life in you. God, as we look at these several verses this morning, help us to look honestly at them. Help us to look faithfully at them. Help us to understand what you would have us to about you and about us and about others. Pray this in your name. Amen. We are in Philemon, so if you turn to Philemon with me. This week we are starting in verse 13, but like we did last week, I'd like to review with you a little bit, kind of bring us into verse 13. So if you have your Bibles with you, we'll actually be starting in verse 11. We'll have it on the screen for you. But if you would you stand with us as we read God's Word? The Bible says, "Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." You can have a seat. Last week, we saw that God makes useless things useful. In the example of Onesimus in verse 11, we saw the importance of mentoring, the way that Paul invested. And then Paul tells Philemon in verse 12 that he is sending him his very heart by sending Onesimus to him. Maybe he felt a little towards Onesimus sending him away, the way some of our parents did, sending their kids away for the weekend. Maybe not. I'm thinking a lot of our parents were really glad to have a house free for the weekend. I could be wrong. But it's possible. He felt much like parents being separated for a weekend. But for Onesimus, it would be much longer than that. In verse 13, we continue from that thought process. Paul says he would have been glad to keep him in Rome, if you're looking at verse 13. He would have been glad to keep Onesimus in order that he might serve Paul on Philemon's behalf. As much as Paul loved Onesimus, the reason he wants to keep him in Rome is for the sake of service. As Paul is serving Christ and is under house arrest, Onesimus is serving Christ by serving Paul. Paul is accomplishing a lot by saying this, by saying, "I want to keep you here so that you could be serving me." First, he's making clear why Onesimus is important to him. So Paul's talking to Philemon, "I want you to know that Onesimus, your former slave, is important to me." He's establishing that Onesimus isn't just a guy that came along that he became friends with. Onesimus is a real servant doing the work of Christ with Paul. Second, he's letting Philemon know, "Hey, this Onesimus is different than the Onesimus that left you. You should take this guy back as a brother because he really has a heart for serving. He's not the same person that stole from you and decided to serve himself. He's truly serving Christ and others now. He's almost summing all of that up by saying, I want to keep him here to keep serving with me. You got to imagine that. That's not the guy Philemon knew leaving him. That's the cool thing about the gospel. What a good reminder, even in a subtle way here, that the gospel changes people. That we as Christians should expect change as the gospel infiltrates our lives. That as the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, that we are not left the same. That's a gift to us as we are hurt by people. That's a gift to us as we have relationship issues. That's a gift to us as we maybe dislike someone's attitude or personality because God changes people. The third thing Paul does in verse 13 is remind Philemon that while he gets joy and comfort from his love, you remember earlier in this chapter, Paul says, I get much joy and comfort from your love. While he gets that, he doesn't get physical service from Philemon. Philemon isn't in Rome to encourage Paul. Philemon isn't running errands, putting himself at risk for Paul, cleaning up his house, cooking his meals. And we don't really know what Onesimus was doing for Paul. We don't have that record. But what we do know is that Philemon wasn't doing it. Philemon was in Colossae doing whatever he wanted to. So Paul says to Philemon, I wish you were helping me. I wish you were here in Rome helping me. But since you're not, I've been real glad that Onesimus has been here. I've been real glad to have your runaway slave. It's almost like you're here instead. If you read the end of this letter, it's really easy. If you've got your Bibles and scan through and kind of check the end, it's really easy to imagine Paul and Philemon having written to each other before, talking of their desire to be with each other and serve each other. It wouldn't be unimaginable to imagine some of that conversation happening, especially as you look at the end of that letter. Paul is helping Philemon understand that God is answering their prayers of being reunited in a way through Onesimus. So in all of this, in all of verse 13, we can see a life of service for the gospel. That's your first point if you're note-taking with us this morning. Service for the gospel. Why does Paul want Onesimus to be there? Because of service. Because of his service. Paul is serving the cause of the gospel. Onesimus is serving the cause of the gospel. And Philemon has the opportunity to serve the cause of the gospel by supporting Paul, by supporting Onesimus. Why would Paul be glad to keep Onesimus with him? Because of his service. That's the point here. But it's not service for the service itself. It's not just doing good things for the sake of doing good things. It's the attitude of the service. It's the goal of the service. It's the last three words of verse 13. If you have your Bibles and you can see verse 13 in the ESV, the last three words of that verse are for the gospel. What a fantastic challenge for us, church, that our service would be for the gospel. Let's serve, let's act, let's work, let's love, let's play and live for the gospel. That's why Paul wants Onesimus. That's why Paul is in Rome. That's why Paul is following Christ, for the gospel. This weekend, your students were challenged to involve God. Last night in our whole group, my brother Jacob was speaking and he said, hey, I want to challenge you to involve God. And he said, it seems a little bit simplistic to involve God. But a lot of times in our lives, we choose to not involve God. We try to keep God to the side while we do our thing, and we involve God when it's convenient for us. But here, as we serve, as we do, as we live, in everything, we should be doing that for the gospel. We should involve God. And another thing your students were challenged in was actually to serve. To serve for the gospel. And I actually have a picture of your students serving. We cleaned up a yard yesterday, and what a blessing that was to be able to get out and serve a member of our church and pick up some leaves. And I don't know if you can see, but we've got people of all ages in that picture. And actually a couple of families came to help as well. So we had dads and sons and middle schoolers, high schoolers. It was such a cool opportunity. It was really neat. And you had kids yesterday who were moving buggies in from the parking lot at Walmart, which may not seem like a bad thing until you've been to the parking lot of the Walmart in Monroe. And then you know that's a cool ministry. Thank you. Right? We had kids who were cleaning up the fronts of yards next to the road. We had kids delivering postcards for our upcoming Easter celebration. We had our kids doing things that were not about them. We had them doing things that made them realize that service is for others, that God has called us to love others well. Onesimus involves God in the way that he serves. He serves for the gospel. So let's not waste our service. Let's not waste our service at the altar of cultural expectations. Because this is what you're supposed to do. You do this. Because we should not waste our service at the altar of being a good person. I want people to think I'm a good guy, so I'm going to do this. Service for being a good person. Let's not waste our service at the altar of getting compliments and being well thought of. Let's not waste our lives on lesser temporary things. Let's lay our service down at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let's give our lives to the eternal reward of knowing and loving Christ. As we commit to serve for the sake of the gospel, like Onesimus, as the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, naturally, our desires will be formed by goodness. And that's your next thought here. Desires formed by goodness. That's what we see in Philemon. Verse 14, Paul says, "But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord." Everybody say good. Everybody say, God is good. God is good. Because we know that God is love. But did you know that God is good? We say that a lot, but it's not because God does good things. We don't just say God is good because God does good things. We say it because God is good. God is good. Good is actually defined by God. God does nothing that is not good. He is the source of all good things. So when a Christian demonstrates goodness, he's reflecting a characteristic of God. Why then does Paul care if Philemon does good based on compulsion or based on desire? Isn't it just enough that he's doing something that reflects God's character? No. Paul wants what is best for Philemon. Paul wants what is best for Philemon. God wants what is best for you. So the Apostle Paul wants Philemon to enjoy having this new brother. He doesn't want him to just grumblingly, frustratedly take back this slave. He wants to enjoy, embrace this new brother. How much more joy, how much better is that for Philemon? Philippians says to do everything without grumbling, but it's much easier to do things without grumbling when you are doing what you want to do. So Paul is appealing to Philemon so that taking back Onesimus will be his desire, not just a command that he grumblingly takes, but it will be his desire. And this is really helpful for us in the Christian life. Our desires should be built out of goodness. Our desires should be built on what God desires. So kids in the room, students in the room, it makes it easier to be an obedient child of your parents when you desire what God desires. Parents, it makes it easier to be a parent that disciples your kids and invests that time and effort when you desire what God desires. It makes it easier to restore broken relationships when you desire what God desires. It makes it easier to be unified as a church when you desire what God desires. It makes it easier to share the gospel when you desire what God desires. Jesus died on the cross because he desired what the Father desired. He and the Father were one, are still one. The desires match perfectly. Their desires matched perfectly, still do. So when our perfect God sent a substitute for us, and that substitute lived a life we couldn't live, died a death that we deserved, and rose again so that we could have eternal life, we know that Jesus did that because he wanted to. Think about what I'm saying. Jesus wanted to suffer for your salvation. Jesus wanted to suffer for the Father's glory. How beautiful, then, is the offer of salvation that God wanted to lay his life down for us. Philemon needs to desire what God desires. He needs to desire goodness, not be forced into it. We need to desire what God desires. Because all too often, we trade God's desires for the world's desires. We judge our situation by our wealth, by what our neighbors would think, by what we've seen on social media. But God doesn't command us to match the desires and meet the desires of the world. We see that we need to match our desires to God's desires. And when we do, it makes the next thing we see in Philemon much easier. Let's look at verses 15 and 16. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while. So again, Paul is talking to Philemon. Onesimus was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a bondservant, but much more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. In these two verses, we are shown that God gives purpose to our situations. This is such good news for us. That God gives purpose to our situations is such a confidence builder for the Christian. It's such a courage giver for the Christian. Philemon, this is why he parted from you. God was doing something eternal. Even if you couldn't see it in that temporary moment, God made a brother out of your slave. You get to have him back forever. Romans 8:28 says, And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 and Philemon 15 and 16 make us really consider what our good is. Here's your reminder today. Here's your reminder that your wealth, your power, your comfort, even your life on this earth is not your good. God's glory is your good. That's it. And if God can get glory from your poverty or your weakness or your suffering or even your death, shouldn't we be glad for these things? We get so caught up in the wrong picture of what is good for us. This goes back to our desires. Christians, let's not let culture define what is our good. Do not let people far from God define for us what is our good. No, instead, let God define that. Let's set our desires to what God desires. Paul is reorienting Philemon's view of his history with Onesimus. He wants to remind him that there was a purpose from God. Was Philemon hurt? Was Philemon wronged? Was Philemon set back? Yes, to all of that. But Paul didn't dwell on that. Instead, he sets up redemption, restoration, reconciliation by reorienting the events. He's not disputing the facts. He's not changing the history. He's not saying what happened isn't true. Instead, he's saying those facts have different results in God's kingdom than in man's kingdom. Instead of soaking in the despair of past mistakes, Paul is offering the joy of current and future grace. What a good thing for us to latch on to. In our everyday life, in our church life, there is so much application for us day to day in saying, we don't change the past, but we reorient our view to understand that God is gracious, that God is working for His glory, that God is working for the good of those who love Him. How gracious is God to take away a slave and give back a brother? What a beautiful purpose God had for Philemon and Onesimus. Throughout the Bible, we see Joseph traded as a slave, Moses taken from his mother, Daniel taken as a captor, and in each of these situations, God took what was meant for evil and made it good. God had a purpose for every second of their struggle. God has a purpose for every second of your struggle. God has a purpose for every second of your joy. But that purpose is going to be so much sweeter for us. It's going to be so much more enjoyable for us as Christians if we desire what God desires and live lives of service for His gospel. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never considered that Jesus died for you. Maybe you've never considered that there is eternal purpose for your life. I want you to know that the Bible tells you that Jesus did die for you, and He does have an eternal purpose for your life. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Or maybe you have put God's desires on hold while you're seeking out what you want, while you're seeking out what social media tells you to want. God's word is calling you to realign your desires, to reorient your will. God's word is calling you to remember the joy of Christ. Let's pray together as we enter a time of response to God's word. Father, what joy you offer us. What suffering it took to offer such joy. God, we do not take for granted. I ask that you would help us not take for granted the gift we've been given in Jesus Christ. That Paul could look at Philemon, could write a letter to Philemon and tell him that his suffering was for God's glory. That his hurt, his pain were not about him, but it's about God. God, help us to keep your purpose in view. Help us to live lives of service. Help us to be like you. Father, we ask that in this time, if there's anyone who is holding back from you, is waiting to follow you, that you would work in them, that your gentle grace and love would be unavoidable for them. God, we pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand with us?
Son of man, stories of a Savior, holiness with human hands, treasure for the traitor. No ear had heard, no eye had seen the image of the Father until heaven came to live with me. A rescue like no other.
Let's sing this, He's worthy.
'Cause you are worthy. You are sound. You died for your accusers, and as your blood fell to the ground, you redefined my future. It's on the day when you arose, the darkness ran for cover. The King of Kings has claimed his throne. From now until forever, you are worthy. 'Cause you my Savior, my refuge, my hiding place. You're my helper, my healer, my blessed Redeemer, my answer, my saving grace. You're my hope in the shadows, my strength in the battle, my anchor for all my days. God, you stand by. You stood in my place, Jesus. No other name, only Jesus. No other name, 'cause you are worthy. You are worthy of your name. You are worthy. You
Isn't it good to be with God's people? Yeah. Have you been blessed today? Yes, I have been. Yes, yes. We're blessed to have God's word. What a gift that we get to have that for us today. All right, so I want to remind you that we are having the Josh Loftus lunch right afterwards. So if you just want to kind of file on back and go back there and have Angus beef hot dogs, they're good hot dogs. So I don't know if you're a hot dog fan, but even if you're not, you may like these because they're Angus beef hot dogs. So come back and join us. We also have a Sunday school teacher training today right after that. And I don't know that I have any other things that I need to announce. Very good. Awesome. Hey, Connor, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you mind praying for us as we go?
God, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for
speaking through Mark, God. I pray that throughout this day, this just resonates through our head, God, and that you make yourself evident to us, God, that you show us new things today and that you speak to us in ways that you haven't. So bless us throughout the rest of this day. Bless our food. Bless our family time tonight, God, and just bless us throughout the rest of the week as well. It's in your name we pray. Amen.